This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at weightwatchers.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Firstly, I'm going to address you as brothers and sisters. So I say, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And of course, we also thank our dear teacher, Sheikh Fawaz. MashaAllah, we learned so much from him when we were in school. And subhanAllah, he is still teaching at this school. And this requires a lot of dedication, a lot of patience, a lot of perseverance. And so we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept his efforts, and of course, the efforts of all your teachers. And we ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all and to bless our deeds and to grant us the highest levels of the paradise. Say ameen. Ameen. Bye. Okay, brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask the brothers a question. Who is willing to volunteer to answer my question? Ahlan wa sahlan. Fadal. Yalla, come on. What's your name?
Aidan.
Aidan? MashaAllah. Salaam alaikum. Brother Aidan, come here. I'm going to ask you a question and I want an answer that is real and positive from yourself, right? Okay. Do you have a mother and a sister?
Yeah.
You have a mother and a sister. Okay. Now, pay attention and listen. And I want you to answer the question. If someone approached your mother or your sister and wanted to do something indecent to them, would you like that or not?
Obviously not.
Obviously not. What would you do if someone approached them with an indecent act or an intention? Stop there. We don't want to hear the violence. Yalla, sit down. But you know the rest of the story. Okay. Does everyone feel that way? I'm going to ask you all. Do you all feel that way? So that's instinct. Allah put within us an instinct that our mothers and our sisters, and later on, inshallah, once you get married and have daughters, and your aunties on the father's side and on the mother's side, you don't want anyone to approach them in wrong or in an indecent manner. You got it? Everyone's got this feeling in his heart. You know what that is called in Islam? Who can help me and tell me what is that emotion called? Give me the answer. Ah, mashallah. Who else put his hand up here? Tell me, what's that? Huh? Fitra. Okay, al-fitra is like the big term, but give me the specific term. Ghira. See that? Who's not heard of the word ghira? Put your hands up. Okay, excellent. Let me define this concept for you very quickly, and then I'm going to take you to the lesson that I want to share with you. But this was very important introduction. Brothers, listen very carefully. There's something of an emotion that Allah put in the heart. It's called al-ghayrah. Well, ghayrah means protective jealousy. Protective jealousy. Now, ghayrah doesn't mean that if someone has a nice pen that you're jealous and I want the same pen. No. Al-ghayra, protective jealousy, is specific to your woman relatives. What it means is that you have a mother and a sister and an auntie, and if you know that someone is going to approach them in an indecent manner, your ghayra will ignite in your heart to do something to protect them. You got it? That's called al-ghayrah, protective jealousy. So you'll get up, you'll do what you have to do, you'll push away who you have to push away, you will talk to whoever you have to talk to, and the intention of all this is to protect your mother, your sister, and your woman relatives. Keep this principle in mind. Now I'm going to share with you a story. This is an incident that happened during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Pay attention. A young man walks into the masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he approaches the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he's sitting in the gathering. Young boy. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, i'dhal li bizzina. He says, O Messenger of Allah, give me permission to commit zina. Zina means an illegal relationship, illegal intimacy. This is haram, az-zina. And the young boy knows it's haram. Does he know it's haram? How do you know he knows it's haram? Because he's asking for permission. He's asking permission. So he knows it's haram, right? As soon as he asks this very strange and bold question, the companions got up and they said to him, sit down, be quiet, zajaruh. They scolded him. They condemned him. How dare you ask such a question to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sit down, get out of here. Mah, mah. That's what they said to him, which means stop talking, have some shame, walk out of here. Subhanallah. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this young man and said to the companions, leave him, move away from him. And he said to this young companion, come here, sit down in front of me. Now I want you to understand, this young boy, just like you, and just like you, he has a raging desire within him. Perhaps he has a girlfriend that he's had a very long relationship with, and now, finally, he cannot control himself anymore. He wants to be in seclusion with her, to do a major sin. But he knows it's haram and he doesn't want to take that step. I need permission. So he said, you know what? I have no other solution but to go and ask the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he did so. And look at the beauty and the compassion and the mercy and the kindness of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of all teachers. We need to love him for who he is, for his character, for his qualities. How much have you read about your Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You need to read a lot more than what you read. In this story, you're going to see the beautiful character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, can you imagine? Let's say you're troubled and you have this raging desire within you. You want to text a girl in haram. You want to chat to a girl in haram. You want to glance at woman in haram. You want to even meet up with a woman in haram. Imagine that's you and you want an answer. How can I solve this problem? How can I solve this issue? How can I keep away from what is haram? Because I know it's haram. About to fall into it. How can I protect myself and keep away from it? This young boy is you. Now listen to the medicine and the answer he gets. He sits in front of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm going to ask you a question now. When people speak about zina, this major crime, when people offer solutions for it, what are the solutions they offer? Who can tell me? Help me. What is a solution to keep away from az-zina, the haram zina? Tell me. But excellent. Fasting. What else? What else? Marriage. Excellent. Beautiful answer. Two excellent answers. Watch this now. Watch. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now believe it or not, doesn't tell him, young boy, go get married. He doesn't say that. He doesn't even say, young boy, control yourself and go fast every day of the week. He doesn't say that. He tells him something else. Did you know that there is a third solution? That if you cannot get married and you cannot fast every day, there's a third thing you can do in where you can walk away from the act of zina and everything related to that department. Everything related to that department of the lustful glance to the opposite gender, the chats, the meetups. There's a third thing you can do that will protect you and keep you away from that. You want the third solution? Would you like to know what it is? Okay, listen carefully. You interested? Excellent. Aren't you interested? I love this brother. Come sit here. Please, come. On here in front of me. MashaAllah. Bella, Bismillah. We're going to give you a solution. But I want you to memorize it because at the end I'm going to ask you the question. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is a specialist. He knows the medicine. He's going to treat him with calmness and tranquility. He says to him, young boy, would you like that someone, what was it?
Someone dance your mom.
Allahu Akbar. Look, this guy's a champion, mashallah. Listen, he said, أَتَرْضَاهُ لِأُمِّكِ He said to the young boy, are you pleased for someone from the outside, a stranger, to come to your mother and do zina to her? Remember what I said to you at the beginning? Would any one of you like this for your mothers? You all said no. This young man said, La wallah. He responded with even more passion. He didn't just say, no, I don't want it for my mother. He said, no, by Allah. How disgusting and filthy is that? I don't even want to think of it. Okay. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, did you know that people don't like this for their mothers? But how can you not like it for your mother and then you want to do it for other people's mothers? Fair enough. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him the second time, أَتَرْضَاهُ لِأُخْتِكِ Maybe you are pleased with the act of a zina with your sister. Is that the case? So this young boy, a second time now, he says, لَا وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَنِ اللَّهُ فِدَاكِ No, not at all. I don't want this zina for my sister. Once again, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, and people don't like this for their sisters. So he says to him, how about your daughter? Are you pleased with a zina, illegal intimate relations with your daughter? Once again, he freaked out. He said, La wallah, ja'alani Allah fidak. No, wallahi, not at all. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now a third time says to him, and people do not like this action for their daughters. So then again, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, أَتَرْضَاهُ لِعَمَّتِكِ How about your paternal auntie? Paternal auntie. What's a paternal auntie in Arabic? عمتك, right? Memorize it. So the young boy, once again, لا والله جعلني الله فداك. No, not at all. Wallahi, I am not pleased with this action for my paternal auntie. And for a fifth time, and for a fourth time, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and people do not like this for their paternal aunties. And then a fifth time, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أترضاه لخالتك Are you pleased with this action for your maternal auntie? What's a maternal auntie? Khala, what is a maternal auntie? What does that mean? Your mother's side. Okay. So, your mother's side. Your auntie from your mother's side. The young boy says, La, wallahi ja'alani Allahu fidak. No, not at all. I do not like this action for my maternal auntie. And for a fifth time, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, and people do not like this action for their maternal aunties. Then the narration says, I'm going to explain something to you. The narration says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his hand on the chest of this young boy and made a dua saying, Oh Allah, purify his heart, wipe away his sin, and protect his private part from doing anything haram. And the end of the narration says, this young man walked away and never ever turned his back to any of this indecency ever again. He did not desire zina anymore, nor did he lust to look at the opposite gender, nor did he speak inappropriately to women, nor did he text them, nor did he meet up with them. He moved away from this entire boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, away from it completely. So that means what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him was medicine. Now, I tell you this. I told you that az-zina is a huge crime in Islam. Do you all agree? What is it ranked? The first huge crime, or the second, or the third, or the fourth? This guy says the second. What do we have here? The third? Third? Positive? Excellent. It is the third major crime in Islam. The first being, what's the first? Ash-shirku billah, to worship other than Allah Azza wa Jal. The second worst crime in Islam is what? Huh? No. No. Murder. Killing someone. And the third major sin in Islam is zina itself. Now let me tell you this. You know, zina and murder have been mentioned together in the Quran because they are equally as bad as each other. I tell you how. In many parts of the Quran, Allah says, do not commit zina, do not kill the innocent soul. Almost definitely, anyone who commits zina, murder will end up taking place. How? When a person commits zina, and a woman becomes pregnant, finds out she became pregnant, they go and they do an abortion. And this abortion will result in the killing and the murder of this child, this innocent child. And even murder is of degrees. The worst type of killing a person could ever do is to kill a baby, because that is the most innocent soul. The second worst murder is to kill your parents, and the third is to kill yourself, and the rest follow afterwards. Zina and murder are closely attached and tied to each other. Murder is killing physically a human being, and zina kills the spiritual state of a person. It destroys the spiritual state of a person. And there is no satisfaction in it whatsoever. And there is no fulfillment in it whatsoever. Because the one who goes down the pathway of a zina, which begins with this, coupled with this, and on this are social media apps that give you access to a wide range of haram. This is the zina of the eyes, followed up then by the zina of texting indecently, followed up by the zinc.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Now of one sending pictures of himself online. Until then, there's the zina of meeting up and touching one another. And then the major zina happens in where a person commits the actual major crime. All of this path has no satisfaction in it whatsoever. I tell you why. You know why? Listen up. Because the one who looks once is not fulfilled. The one who looks once is not fulfilled. He will flip the screen and the reel to another and a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth, and he just doesn't know how to stop. The next day, the very same thing. And that's the haram, that's its nature. It will never satisfy you. Imagine you ate something that had no nutrients in it. You will eat and a minute later you're still hungry because there was no nutrients. Al-haram is like that. There's no nutrients in it. It does not satisfy. Meanwhile, if you do that which is halal, it satisfies. And it's fulfilling for a person. Do you notice this? For example, you know alcohol. Is alcohol haram? It is. You know people usually drink. What day of the week?
Friday night.
Thursday night, Saturday night, they drink. If you have ever seen and observed pubs and the tables in where alcohol is served, how many cups are on the table? There's heaps of cups. How come? Because al-haram does not fulfill. One person sitting on a table where there is alcohol, he'll drink 5, 6, 7 cups that very night and he's not full. But if you drank water that night, how many cups is enough? You can drink one cup and it'll last you a few hours because al-halal satisfies and it fulfills. And the same way when you come to al-haram, when you come to the department of al-haram, when we're speaking about az-zina, it does not fulfill. People that have this habit and a lifestyle of zina, guess what? They have one girlfriend, a second girlfriend, a third one, a fourth one, a fifth one, move on to the sixth. Perhaps he ends up with 20, 30, 50. Afterwards, there's no satisfaction. What's missing? There's no barakah in that which is haram. Meanwhile, if you compare such a person to someone that has married, well, marriage is halal. Then he gets married and he's satisfied and fulfilled with that which is halal. Someone that is married, you don't see him jumping from one to another, right? Because what he has is fulfilling. You understand? You got it? You understood? Excellent. Okay. Now, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke to this young child, to this young boy, young man, he was, you know what he was doing? The medicine was that he was reducing his raging desire and elevating another emotion in the heart, which was, I told you at the beginning, called what? Al-ghayra, which is protective jealousy. That's an emotion of the heart. So this young man, he has a trouble in the heart that is an excessive desire. And this excessive desire is going to just burn him out. He wants to do al-haram. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quietens his excessive desire by activating another emotion, which is the protective jealousy. When he activated that in his heart, it overtook his heart. He became disgusted by az-zina. Because every time he remembered az-zina, he remembered his mother, sister, daughter, auntie, and his other auntie from his mother's side. Imagine, and that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam counted 5 female relatives for him. He could have just counted 1 or 2, but he counted 5 so that every time he said to him, your mother, the jealousy grew in his heart. Your sister, it grew more. Your daughter, it grew more. Your amma, paternal auntie, maternal auntie, it grew until it overtook the excessive desire in his heart. So now what I'm saying to you, when you find a raging desire within you to commit al-haram, to watch al-haram, ask yourself, would you like for someone to look at your mother in the very same way you're looking at what is indecent on your phone? The answer would be what? No. And then if you're still glued on your phone, ask yourself another question. How about your sister? How about if you were to have a daughter? How about your aunties? If you actually have this discussion with yourself, the emotion of protective jealousy will overtake the excessive desire, and you'll find yourself moving away from this indecency and shamelessness and vulgarity and lewdness and so on. You'll keep away from all that stuff. You got it? So now you learn and understand that marriage is a solution to excessive desire. Fasting is a solution. If you cannot do both, there's an intellectual response to this excessive desire. Talk your way out of it. Give a rising to this emotion, and as a result, that raging desire would settle down. You understood? How incredibly beautiful is the hadith and the guidance and this medicine of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is it good? That's fantastic. It is fantastic, and we are in desperate need of it, especially in this day and age. I tell you why. Because this young man that entered upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, trust me, there were no phones at that time. He didn't see what the men of today see on the phone. He didn't. So imagine how much more we are in need of this prophetic treatment. So much more in need, right? And at the end, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand on his chest and he said, oh Allah, purify his heart. Because if your heart desires haram, it's impure. So it needs to be purified. Who owns your heart? You sure? Allah owns your heart. So who can purify it? You know, if this microphone broke, where should I take it? I should take it to the company that made it, right? Because they made it. But your heart, if it's broken and it has this excessive desire in it, if you want to fix it, who do you have to take it back to? Just Creator. Take it back to Allah. How do you take it back to Allah? A dua and praying. You say, oh Allah, purify my heart. And you got to be serious. You have to be sincere and honest. But do you know how to be sincere and honest in a dua? Who knows how to be sincere and honest in dua? Show me, how does honesty and sincerity in dua look like? Your intention? Okay, explain. How can I be honest and sincere? Because if you're honest and sincere in your dua, that's going to change your life. Huh? Excellent. Look at that. Fantastic. That's part of tawbah and seeking forgiveness, to admit what you've done. But give me, what does it mean to be honest and sincere in your dua? You have to regret it. Fantastic. That's a condition of repentance. Yes? Not to do it. Fantastic. That's also a condition. Yep. Seclusion. Okay, so you make a dua away from the eyes of people, right? So you do it between you and Allah. Let me tell you something. Yes, of course. Let me tell you something. The way you make an honest and sincere dua is that you do not doubt the ability of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that means when you say, oh Allah, purify my heart, you definitely believe that the only one who could purify it is Allah Azza wa Jal and no one else. You got it? You understood? If you say, you know what, I'm going to give it a try, but I doubt it'll happen. Oh Allah, purify my heart, and you're expecting nothing, that's not sincere, honest dua. Sincere, honest dua doesn't mean to talk. Sincere, honest dua means what? What does it mean? That's because you're talking. So you didn't get what we said. Huh? Huh? Excellent. What's your name? MashaAllah. Is that you do not doubt Allah's ability that He's able to purify your heart, right? So you say, Allahumma tahhir qalbi. Oh Allah, purify my heart. You say, you make this dua, and Allah Azza wa Jal purifies the heart. You need to be certain. Let it take you 1 year. Let it take you 2 years. Keep battling your nafs. Keep asking Allah Azza wa Jal to purify your heart. Don't give up. If you still are doing that which is haram, match it up with a dua. If you sat on al-haram 5-10 minutes, sit making dua equal to that or half that, 5 minutes. Every single time until you defeat your excessive desire and the shaitan and you win over him. And by Allah's permission, it is very possible. But you need to be honest with Allah and continue that dua. If you continue making dua, that is a sign that you know Allah is able, but He still hasn't given you, so you continuously beg Him and ask Him. And then the next dua, you say, oh Allah, forgive my sin, because this is a sin. And the third, oh Allah, protect my privates. And Allah Azza wa Jal is able to do so. And if Allah Azza wa Jal was to protect you from al-haram, then that is your success in this life and in the afterlife. As Allah Azza wa Jal said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful indeed are the believers. And one of their qualities was that they, he said later, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. They protect their privates from al-haram. You got it? Okay, fantastic. And in the narration at the end, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this young man before he left, he said to him, so hate for the people what you hate for yourself. If you hate for your own self that your mother and your female relatives are approached in haram, then hate that for people and do not approach their woman folk in al-haram. You got it? Okay. And then you have our sisters. And no one is immune from excessive desire. That affects men and it affects the woman as well. So what is the solution for a woman? Let me give you a very short and simple answer. From one of the most powerful and effective ways for a woman to protect herself from indecency and haram that may creep up to her doorstep, but today it creeps where? In what? Where does it creep up? Huh? In the phone, in the DM. DM. Do you know the DM? What does DM mean? Huh? Don't message. What does DM mean? Direct message, but I don't like it. DM, don't message. True. Okay. So, the DM could creep. And as a result, you don't know. Al-insan is weak. Men and women, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. And so a woman may be tempted by that which creeps into her doorstep. So how does a woman protect herself from al-haram? Allah gave you a powerful tool to protect yourself. Listen carefully, because this is relevant for the men as well, so you can take this knowledge and teach it to who? Don't you have a sister? Go and teach her. Listen. Anta, you have a sister? Listen. So that you can take this beneficial knowledge and transform their life with it. How does the sister protect herself from indecency that may creep up to her? Through what? The most powerful of these solutions is the adherence to al-hijab. For indeed al-hijab, Allah legislated it upon women to protect them from al-haram. Did you know that? Did you know that or not? Who knew this? Put your hands up. MashaAllah. So all of us are convinced about al-hijab. Did you know that the hijab was legislated from Allah upon you to protect you from al-haram that may come to your doorstep from a man that is unrelated to you? And Allah mentioned this in the Quran. I tell you where. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah Azza wa Jal said, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, oh, what's Nabi? How would you translate Nabi? Prophet. O Prophet of Allah, command your wives. The wives of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have another name. What do we call them? Huh? Mothers of what? Mothers of Islam. Mothers of the believers. Did you know that? You know, once a teacher of ours, our seerah teacher, we had an exam. And in the exam, there was only one question. One question only. Guess what the question was? In the question, exam sheet, he said, name your mothers, the mothers of the believers. And whoever didn't know was shocked. How don't I know my mother's names? What a shame. And from then on, everyone went and learnt the names of the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they are your mothers. So you need to learn about their names and who they were. These are your mothers. Allah Azza wa Jal said, O Prophet, tell your wives, your daughters, and the believing woman, to yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin, to put on their jilbab. Jilbab is a clothing that is put from the top of the head and it covers all the way until it covers the feet. That's what al-jilbab is. Why? That's what hijab is. Why? Allah said, listen to the wisdom. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَىٰ أَن يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. That's the wisdom. He said, because if they wear the jilbab, they will be recognized. As a result, they will not be harmed. What does that mean? What does it mean that they will be recognized? You see, you may have thought, if I wear hijab, I'm concealed and covered. But Allah is saying, no, if you wear the hijab, you will be recognized. What does that mean? It means you will be recognized as a Muslim woman. And if you're recognized as a Muslim woman, that comes with guidelines. Meaning, I don't entertain indecency. I don't entertain al-haram. What I'm wearing sends a very powerful and clear message to whoever is creeping to me intending haram. This clothing of mine helps me repel these forces of evil that are attacking me, keeps them away from me. That's what al-hijab does. That's why Allah said, and once you're recognized as a Muslim woman, فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ, they will not be harmed. You see that? That's why, my sister, you need to adhere to al-hijab all your life. And you need to see it as an act of kindness and mercy from Allah upon you. It is not restricting your freedom. It is not holding you back from anything. Rather, it is giving you every means of success in this life and in the afterlife. Despite its difficulty, immense reward is given on the day of judgment. And you have so many women ahead of you and behind you in history that committed to al-hijab, and Allah bestowed His love and mercy upon them all. You understand that matter? So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant you steadfastness upon this matter. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us all from indecency and al-haram. Say ameen.